Venerable religious, dear parishioners, this Sunday following Corpus Christi has very much the Eucharistic theme. And in the United States, it was prescribed that the Corpus Christi procession would take place not on the Feast of Corpus Christi, but on the Sunday following, so all the more Catholics would participate in the special once-a-year event when our Lord goes outside and walks among His people. In Catholic countries, the Corpus Christi procession would take place on the Feast of Corpus Christi itself. But as, unfortunately, we do not live in a Catholic country, we see why the Church has mandated a different external observance, as it is called. What I wanted to share with you today is the reading from the first book of Kings, or the first book of Samuel, as it's also called, for the Sunday following Corpus Christi. And there is a very strong Eucharistic theme, although it might not be immediately evident. But anyway, we read in the fourth chapter of the first book of Kings that the Israelites set out on one of their many battles with the Philistines. These were their archenemies, or at least among them, in the land of Canaan. And they were told to fight to the death with these adversaries. And so this was one of many battles. And Israel prepared, and it went forth to battle, and a great slaughter of the Israelites ensued. Needless to say, they were dejected, despondent over that defeat. And then they had the thought, let's carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle with us. No doubt they were remembering how when they first entered the Promised Land and they marched 7 days around Jericho and gave a mighty shout, and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they remembered the history telling them some 300 years before that, or 200 years, how the walls of Jericho came crashing down, and they were able to take the city. So they brought the Ark of the Covenant from its holy place in Shiloh, or Shiloh, as it's also known. They brought it into the warriors' camp, and a mighty shout went up. And the Philistines started to get afraid. They heard the shouting. They were conferring among themselves. What is this? What's the meaning of this great shouting? And they found out, I believe it was the next day, when the Israelites went into battle again, this time with great confidence, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the most sacred thing they had. So sacred that only the priests and only special ones were specially assigned were allowed to touch it. But that was their power. They were going to win this time. They went into battle, and another slaughter of the Israelites happened, and horror of horrors, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. I don't think we can begin to imagine the despair, the dismay of the chosen people. When, to all expectation, they should have won that battle. They had the Ark of the Covenant with them. And now to think it was in the hands of their their arch enemy? Again, I don't think we can comprehend how distraught they were. What was the lesson for them in this ultimate disaster? The lesson was this, my dear brethren, that they didn't go to prayer before they went to battle. And even when they went into battle the second time, taking the Ark of the Covenant, it was not with prayer. And they were treating the Ark of the Covenant not in a spirit of prayer, but in a spirit of, we've got our good luck charm with us. They were calling out to God in a bad time, but they had failed to call out to God in the good times. In other words, God was saying to them, by letting this ultimate disaster happen, don't just call on me when trouble strikes. You're supposed to love me and serve me every day of your lives. I will not be your sugar daddy to just bail you out when you need it. You are lacking the spirit of faith and religion in your hearts. And I have allowed this unspeakable disaster to happen because you were taking your relationship with me for granted. And for 9 months, the Israelites were bereft of the Ark of the Covenant. Devout Jews were mourning and grieving every day over their loss. But it was a loss that God permitted for them to have. They had taken God for granted. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant for granted. And yes, there was obviously some reverence involved in bringing it to the battle. They were hoping that they would win, but God was saying, no, there's too much lack of faith in what you're doing. So you're going to have to lose what has been given to you. What's the lesson for us, my dear brethren? I think it should be pretty clear. Do we not take our faith for granted? Is that not the tendency that we have to battle? Do we not take the Ark of the Covenant, actually something infinitely more precious than the Ark of the Covenant, do we not take our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament for granted? And maybe just call out to Him when we are having disaster and troubles. When do we come and visit Him, my dear brethren? Only when we're in need? When a disaster has happened? When we really need His help? Are we not like them going to that battle the second time, carrying the ark? Help us out, dear God. We need You this time. But what is our relationship like before that? I cannot help but think of the fact of what has happened since Vatican II, when the true Mass, when the real presence of our Lord was taken away from the vast majority of those who call themselves Catholics. And I remember growing up as a boy being edified by so many adults who fought the battle again, when the changes were coming in. And these are bad changes. Make no mistake. The Novus Ordo Missae, the new Mass, is an evil thing. It destroyed the faith of Catholics. It brought irreverence and sacrilege into churches. It destroyed faith. It's beyond me how people can try to justify the changes of the new Mass. Especially when we see what's been going on for the past 45, 50 years. Every so often you might see it in a video or something and you say, how can they do that? It's like a big party. And I remember so many adults, because they had to fight against these changes, they fought for the mass and then they ended up having to leave because they weren't going to get it back. And they came to places where there were traditional Mass is available, and they came not just on Sundays, but they came often during the week. They treasured it. You see, this is our problem. We haven't had to fight for the Mass. The younger generation here, you have not had to fight for the Mass because it's handed to you on a gold platter, basically. God is giving it to us. But our challenge is not to take it for granted. To have a lack of appreciation. Again, we might fall into that same manner of acting as the Israelites did. And God taught them the ultimate lesson when He took the Ark of the Covenant away for months from them. And they realize it's not just somebody to call on or something to appreciate when they really needed it. But no, they're supposed to live on a daily basis, knowing, loving, and serving God. My dear brethren, all of us have to fight this tendency of taking God's gifts for granted. We will always have to fight taking for granted our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. Unfortunately, even the holiest things we get used to. So we need to arouse our faith, re-enkindle it, revitalize it. And today is one of the most special days of the whole year in which to do that. May our prayer be today to Jesus in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. Lord, I will never take You for granted. I will always strive to have a vibrant, keen devotion to Thee. I will try to remember that You are physically present. I will always show my appreciation, and I will try to grow in my faith and my love. In the Gospel for today, it talks about the wedding feast. This is the Mass that will be celebrated later on today, about the Great Supper. And the ones that gave excuses for not coming to the wedding feast. I bought a farm. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've gotten married. I can't come. Let's tell Jesus today, Jesus, no excuses for not appreciating and loving Thee and really trying to grow in that. Let's study also the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. Let's take out our catechisms and approved Catholic theology books and delve into this infinite mystery, how God dwells among us in a way that the Israelites could have never dreamed. As holy as the Ark of the Covenant was for them, they didn't realize that God Himself would take on flesh and blood and dwell amongst them. That's our privilege. That's our joy. That's our blessing. May it ever become more and more of a reality to us in our daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.